Hey folks, Scott Weingart here, and this is the MCRIT podcast. Today, we're doing an airway topic, and it's one we haven't really gone into any depth on the podcast yet, so let's remedy that. We're going to talk about the decontamination of the soiled airway. Not just a little bit of junk in the back of the throat, but, you know, mouth filling up with vomit or blood. And there is no better person to talk to about that than Jim Ducanto. He is an anesthesiologist. He is maybe the nicest guy you'll ever meet. He has like a little airway innovation lab. He is a font of amazing ideas, and he is not scared to think outside the conventional boundaries of standard practice. So he is a great person to talk to. For, I think, the past 2 years, he's been obsessed with decontamination of the soiled airway. He created a mannequin that could duplicate a vomiting patient, mouth filled up with simulated vomit. And once he had the mannequin, there was nothing stopping him from experimenting and finding new ways to make this work. Along the lines of that, he actually invented a new suction cannula. So up at the top of the show, we'll just mention Jim has a conflict of interest in that we're going to discuss the Yankauer replacement he created. Let's get right to it. So you now have a mannequin that could simulate this stuff, and having experienced it myself, it definitely does simulate the misery of an airway filling up with vomit or blood. And so now from that, you've developed a whole bunch of techniques to actually counter this situation. I want to give you two, Jim. Situation number one is you have a laryngoscope in your hand, you're entering an unsoiled airway, and all of a sudden that, you know, you get that sinking feel in your stomach because out of the esophagus with your laryngoscope in there wells up an enormous amount of vomit, like the entire mouth overflowing. What is your immediate responses to that situation?
If you've got a tracheal tube in your right hand and a laryngoscope in your left, and it's clear to you it's liquid vomit, you've got two choices. You can put the tracheal tube down and pick up the suction and put that into the airway, number one. Number two, you can do an esophageal diversion maneuver where you deliberately take the tracheal tube in your right hand, place it blindly along the posterior pharyngeal wall into the esophagus, remove the stylet, inflate the cuff on the tube, push it to the left corner of the mouth, then put the suction in the mouth to decontaminate the airway. The reason you're doing all this is to divert the continuous flow of liquid airway contaminant coming up from below. So you give the vomit a route out of the patient, and you're already standing there with the tube in your hand, right?
Yeah, I love this so much. And now you're inflating the cuff of the ET tube, correct? So you really are now having a pathway for the vomit to take that you could aim. You can aim at the nurses or interns next to you, and instead of it now filling up the airway.
Okay, so that brings that brings you to the next point where you could literally say to the guy next to you, "Here, hold this for me, would you?" Point it right at your zipper, right? So anyway, so that's scenario. Yeah, scenario number one is either you can tube the goose with the tracheal tube and use it to divert the flow of airway contaminant, or you can turn the head to the side. You can put the suction in the mouth. If it's solid vomit, you're going to have to sweep it out with a spoon or some type of suction device. This is something I learned recently from a recent simulation where we actually put solids into the mannequin instead of liquids. We can talk about that. But anyway, okay, go on, Scott. I'm interested to hear your scenario.
Okay, so you said you had two choices. One of them is to empirically intubate the esophagus, inflate the balloon. Now you have a diversion. Or you said you could put it down and utilize the suction catheter. But Jim, you know, you do have a conflict of interest here. We'll put that in the show notes. And I was incredibly dissatisfied with the Yankauer in these circumstances. It never seemed to keep up or get large particles. So what suction would you have in your hand right now if you had your druthers?
Right. Well, it's a new suction from the Score company in California. It's called the Ducanto suction, of all things. And the Ducanto suction was originally developed as a result of my tinkering with the simulation. And it's a modified high D catheter, which is also from Score. It's a product from this company in California that is has a 0.26 inch aperture opening, which is essentially about 5.7 millimeters. It's quite large. It allows for very efficient suctioning of very thick liquids in blood, as well as small particles. The Ducanto's difference from the initial product, the Hi-D, is that it's specifically shaped to work with hypercurved video laryngoscopes, number one. Number two, it does not have a vent hole, which is, requires you either to cover with your finger or cover with a piece of tape, which is really an amateur maneuver, but that's what you'd have to do if you had a thumb hole. It's anatomically shaped in such a way that it will very naturally allow you to put it in the mouth and wrap it around the base of the tongue and go straight into the esophagus.
And if you stick this next to a Yankau, a device never meant for the purposes we use it for, it's meant for suctioning mucosal surfaces during ENT surgery, not for emergency airway management, you'll see the enormous difference in the orifice size. So, Jim, do you know, this is a diversion, but how much difference is there in cost between a Yankau and the Ducanto suction?
My understanding is that the Yankau is 99 cents through the local purchasing plan that my hospital charges, and the Ducanto is $1.95 per unit.
Okay, so nothing bank-breaking here. Okay, fantastic. So you have a Ducanto suction catheter in your hand, and now you hold it differently than I think most people are used to, right? You prefer an overhand kind of stab people in the chest type grip. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. I hold it sort of like a dagger, or possibly the way you'd hold it, almost hold a tracheal tube, where you hold the tracheal tube near the top of the connector or the stylet. I hold this what would look to people to be essentially upside down. What that allows me to do is it allows me two or three advantages. The first advantage is that it puts it firmly in my grip in my right hand. The second advantage is that it takes advantage of the anatomic curve of the suction so that suctioning is effortless. You place it into the mouth, past the tongue, around the base of the tongue, into the hypopharynx. The third advantage is that I discovered in the simulation, as well as clinical practice, that you could actually use a rigid suction catheter, even a Yankau, but their Yankaus are a lot more flimsy than the Ducanto in terms of rigidity. You could use it as a tool to actually help you put the laryngoscope in the mouth and put the laryngoscope around the base of the tongue, and it can actually assist first pass success because you can control the mouth and lower jaw and tongue with the rigid suction catheter, almost like you're using a large tongue depressor.
Absolutely. It's almost as if you have two-handed laryngoscopy now to actually manipulate the structures of the airway.
Sure. So, you know, if I wanted to change something about basic airway management, what I would teach that instead of simply using the scissor maneuver to open the mouth to put a laryngoscope in the mouth, I would either use a wooden tongue depressor, especially with a glide scope or something hypercurved, or I would use a suction catheter because what it'll do is it'll help you open the mouth and it'll also help you depress the tongue. What I've noticed many failures to intubate with laryngoscopes, whether they're normal shaped or hypercurved, is many airway endoscopists have difficulty getting the device into the mouth and around the base of that tongue.
Now, Jim, watching your videos on this, the other thing I noticed that I have to imagine most of the listeners have never done is we are very prone to suction as much as possible in the airway, take the suction catheter out, grab an ET tube and attempt to intubate the patient, and then pick the suction back up again. But you don't advocate that. I think you advocate actually inserting the catheter into the esophagus and leaving it there through a couple of different manipulations throughout the airway management procedure. Can you talk about that a little, Jim?
Sure. We've called the community that has been talking about this, we've called this maneuver the salad park maneuver, where you actually park the suction catheter into the esophagus. What you'll notice when you do the simulation is that if you have a suction catheter in your right hand and it is to the right of the laryngoscope blade, you no longer have any room to visualize with your eyes or you have no room to place a tracheal tube alongside that suction catheter and intubate. So it's in the way. In situations of continuing esophageal bleeding, I've seen a couple of these cases, you would like to leave the suction in while you're intubating because it'll maintain visualization of the larynx. To do this, you simply move the suction catheter to the left of the laryngoscope blade. You simply either take it out and put it to the left of the blade, or if you have enough room, you can push the laryngoscope blade subtly forward, create some space between the laryngoscope and the upper dentition, and move the suction over to the left and up, almost like you're putting a Volkswagen into reverse. What's important about this maneuver is it's intended to continually sump pump drain the hypopharynx in the event of continuing esophageal bleeding or vomiting, number one. Number two, if you are thinking that apneic oxygenation is going to help you, the problem now arises that if you have a suction that's flowing negative 45 liters a minute through the suction catheter, you're pulling all of the oxygen out your suction line. So what you're going to need to do is put the tip of that suction into the esophagus to stop it from sucking out the oxygen.
Okay. Now, second scenario, the airway's already soiled. Maybe EMS has just dropped the patient onto your ED stretcher. Maybe there was a junior level anesthetist attempting to intubate and somehow mouth filled with vomit. And now you as the senior anesthetist have to take over an already soiled airway. I'm imagine you're going to use some of these same maneuvers, but will you alter the order or way you do them?
Let's say I assess that I can decontaminate this airway. So the first thing I'm going to do is assess that, would mask ventilation harm this patient because of an airway contaminant? Okay, if the answer is no, the patient gets mask ventilation of some sort, whether by a face mask or supraglottic. Number two, if I determine that I need to decontaminate the airway before...
Well, let me stop you there, Jim. How much soiling would you just go right to mask without an attempt at decontamination? I mean, I'm sure if there's just a streaking of mucus on a tongue, we all agree, yeah, let's try masking that patient. But if you see something pooling in the back of the airway, would you ever mask them without trying to suction first?
Oh, I would not, no. Okay, so I understand what you're getting at here. Okay, so here's the deal. What is your physical exam of this patient? Your physical exam isn't simply looking, it's actually placing the suction catheter into the patient and seeing what comes out. If it's liquid and you stop sucking liquid, you're eligible now for face mask ventilation. If you're suctioning and it's clear that you've latched onto something huge, chunks of something, you're now in a position where you actually don't know the answer. You're in a no man's land, as it were. So what you're going to need to do is continue to suction, possibly place the laryngoscope blade in to help you visualize what it is you need to remove from that patient's pharynx to be able to ventilate. Your physical exam, you think physical exam is so simple. I mean, you're always examining a patient with monitors. You're examining them with endoscopes, et cetera. We're going to examine the patient with the suction catheter and see what comes out. And if it's clear that there's a bigger obstruction in there, then you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to assess whether you can get it out safely, peacefully, or you got to go to a surgical airway.
All right, let's talk about that. So you get in there, you put your laryngoscope in, and you're going to now examine the airway with the suction catheter in hand. You suck out whatever liquids, but there's a ton of solids in there. But the patient's sat is not horrible. It's 96% right now. So you're not going to progress to a crike, but you do want to get those solids out. What's your thinking on this?
I had a recent simulation on Sunday. This is available on the Salad. I have a Facebook page. I think it's called Salad Simulation. I don't put a lot of effort into it, but I do post videos there. We did a solid airway contaminant simulation on Sunday with two paramedics from LifeStar here in Washington County, Wisconsin, Tyler Christofoli and Sam Ireland. We discovered that, first of all, I was watching these guys work. I let them really run this simulation because I wanted to see what they were going to do, because I think that they know more. Generally, I think paramedics know more than at least anesthesiologists about airway decontamination because they see it. They were able to decontaminate the airway with we tried several different spoon-shaped devices. We tried a milkshake spoon, a very long, thin milkshake spoon. Then I tried another one that had a built-in straw for you can drink the milkshake or scoop it. And then I tried another Score product, another plug, as it were, for Score. But I'm not trying to plug their products. They are the only ones making anything applicable to the situation. They make a catheter called the S3 that's shaped a lot like a spoon. It's long and thin and has built-in suction capabilities similar to the Decanto. And S3 yielded the fastest airway scoopage decontamination by Sam Ireland of the entire simulation. So that was, of course, an N equal to 1, but we had a limited supply of airway contaminant.
Now, Jim, was entered into the mix fingers with like a little just reaching in there?
It wasn't in our mix, and I think that I've only done this simulation with solids once, and I think what needs to be done is we need to compare the original method, which is using fingers by turning the mannequin's head to the side and using fingers to sweep the oropharynx, and then we need to compare that to using a device like the S3 or something similar. There really isn't anything similar to an S3. That just is what it is, or you're going to have to go get a milkshake spoon somewhere.
And I guess the last thing to talk about, Jim, and I just saw this in one of your videos, is, and you do have an acronym for it, but I apologize, I don't remember, but the high D actually allowed bougie placement through the suction catheter itself. Does the DeCanto do that? And if it doesn't, right, just talk a little bit about doing through the high
D. It's capable of delivering bougies as a bougie guide. As it stands in the current situation, I'm doing a clinical study on this. I've collected 40 patients. I've been using novice intubators, and I need to write this up. I've been instructed to not make a big deal out of this because it's an off-label use of the device, and I, being a representative of the company that makes this, they want to make sure we don't create a problem. However, what I can let our listeners know is I have clinically investigated the use of both the HI-D and the DeCanto to deliver bougies, intubating airway catheters. I can't recommend it clinically at this point. It's still something that's under study. It's an off-label use of the device. And of course, I don't want to get the manufacturer into any difficulty with this, but I think in the next year and a half, 2 years, if I can prove through clinical studies and we can accept this as an acceptable technique, this can be an on-label, a labeled use for the device. I believe that this potentially is a game changer in many aspects of airway management, because we have talked about the limitations of the bougie on and on and on for 5 years, I think. And one of the limitations of it is that it sometimes, oftentimes it doesn't go where you send it. If you're using a specific rigid anatomically shaped guide to get it to go where you want to go, it changes a lot of problems. So in other words, I'm telling you, you could make potentially, this is all theoretical, guys, this is off label, you could actually make the bougie reliable with a GlideScope by putting it through an appropriately shaped delivery guide.
Especially since you matched the DeCanto catheter to these hyperangulated blades. And we really have nothing else that conforms to that shape except for the GlideScope stylet currently. All right, Jim, anything else you want to add?
I want to just thank the global community for assisting me in this project, showing interest. And indeed, I would not have learned anything if it hadn't been for the collective effort of both physicians and paramedics who've added knowledge and experience and joy, for God's sakes, to this project.
Jim, you've always been an avatar of multidisciplinary collaboration, and I think you lead the way for how different specialties should all relate for the good of patients and advancing our practice. So, Jim, thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, folks, there you go. Salad with Dr. Jim DeCanto. So just two more things to think about that I'll put in the show notes. My friend Ruben Strayer introduced me to the idea, and it's so obvious, and yet it didn't occur to me. It probably didn't occur to you, but yet once he said it, it's like, oh, duh. You don't need to be the one suctioning if you're using video laryngoscopy. You could hand off the Yankauer or the DeCanto cannula to a friend, or hand off two of them to two friends and let them suction the airway while you continue to pursue getting a bougie or endotracheal tube through the cord. So that's one additional option we didn't talk about. The other one is my wife and I created the idea of using the endotracheal tube itself as your large bore suction device. And there's nothing you're going to find larger than an endotracheal tube for sucking out vomit. And then once you finally find the cords, you could just pop that in there. And if you find that it's too disgusting after everything settles down and you get the patient's airway cleaned out, you could always change that out over a tube exchanger if you don't like the dirty tube. But I have in the show notes the way to do that as well. So there you go. Scott Weingart, MCRIT Podcast, saying bye-bye.